Well, this week, I'm really excited because we're beginning a new series. The series is titled, Live Like a King. It's lessons from the life of King David. I'm excited for what God has in store for us as we learn from a man who the Lord Himself said, that guy is a man after my own heart. We're going to learn from this guy's life. We're going to see why was David so loved by God? What made him so different? Why was he this amazing anointed man? Why? What happened? And can we also experience that? Can we live like a king? King David was definitely a very special man. He was a mighty warrior. He was a skilled musician. He was a leader. He was a king. And then, in fact, from his lineage, Jesus would be born. Come on now, that's incredible. However, what truly made David special was that he was chosen by God. You see, David was just a simple shepherd boy tending the sheep until the day he received the anointing. King David was anointed. And if we're to live like a king, we too must be anointed. And we must walk in the anointing. So I have three questions that we're going to ask ourselves and then we're going to answer this morning, so we can better understand this anointing. Number one, the question is going to be, what does it mean to be anointed? The second question is, why was David anointed? And the third question that we're going to look at is, can we be anointed like David? Let's roll. Question number one. What does it mean to be anointed? Well, it said that the origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds long ago. You see, shepherds kept having this problem. Their sheep were dying. And the reason that their sheep were dying often was because of insects and lice that would crawl up through their wool, get up to their head, crawl up through the wool and into their ears. I'm just saying. And so to prevent this from happening to their sheep, the shepherds would pour oil over the head of their sheep. And that oil would cause this barrier that would prevent the insects from crawling up onto their head and burrowing into their ears. So from this anointing became symbolic with protection and empowerment, of setting apart, of life, and it involved the pouring of oil over one's head. And in God's economy, this oil represents the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. When someone or something is anointed, they are being anointed with the presence and with the power and with the fullness of God. It's the anointing. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is being released into somebody's life. Anointing isn't just some nebulous anointing. Oh, we're going to anoint that person and this special power is going to come over them. And it's just this little religious spiritual thing that we do. Oh, the anointing, and they're anointed and we're going to anoint them. And it's this magic potion, little stuff that we throw at them. And wow, they're an anointed person. It's not that. You know what? Anointing isn't even just a blessing. A blessing is good, and it's good to bless one another. But an anointing is something even far greater. Anointing represents, again, the covering or the filling of the Lord. And with the filling of the Lord comes power, comes protection, comes favor, comes special ability from God Himself to accomplish God's plans. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of anointing. Prophets were anointed. Why? To fulfill God's plan. To do God's work. Priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. Craftsmen were anointed. Hey, now I'm getting a little bit out of, you know, the religious church people now. Craftsmen were anointed. Why were they anointed? We see them being anointed to build the temple of God, to build the house of God. For God's purposes, they are anointed so that they will have the special ability, insight, skills given from God to be able to use those things for the glory of God and for His kingdom. Worshippers were anointed. Musicians were anointed. The sick were anointed so that they could then walk in healing. Even objects and buildings were anointed. What? For the use of God, for God's glory, to be used for God and His purposes. The anointing. Why were they anointed? Because they were chosen, they were set apart, they were consecrated for God's glory and to bring His kingdom, not for personal gain. Some people will look at somebody, oh man, that person's anointed. They're so good at making money. They're just anointed with the gift of business and making money. Well, that's good, but it's not for personal gain. The anointing is never for our own personal gain. The anointing is to bring God's kingdom into this work, to be His hands and feet, to be His people, to be His church, bringing His kingdoms, His plan and His purposes right now here. That's what the anointing is for. Here's an example. I want to show a video. Here's an example of a guy getting anointed for the work of the kingdom while he was ministering in Africa. Hey, I will tell you this. I needed that anointing. I was like a sheep going into a foreign land. I needed my head covered. I needed protection. This was my first time in Africa. My first time to minister over there, where the forces of evil are very, very present, and I need to walk in the anointing and the power of God as I'm laying hands on people and seeing God move in powerful ways. Being anointed, I wasn't anointed just so I could have a good time in Africa. I was anointed at that time to do the work of the kingdom for a specific purpose while I'm in Africa. That's our good friend Pastor Emmanuel, for those of you who didn't recognize him right away. Again, anointing is the spiritual act of receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, in order to accomplish God's kingdom plans. It's the anointing. So why was David anointed? That's question number two. Why was David anointed? Why did he get the anointing? God anointed David because he was a man after His own heart. That's why David was anointed. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent upon him. That's why he was set apart for the things of God, because he was a man after God's own heart. We read about that in 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. It's also reiterated in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, verse 22, where it says, after removing Saul, we're going to talk about that next week, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now check this out. He will do everything I want him to do. God anointed David because David's heart was fully committed to the Lord and to His ways. And because God could trust David to carry out His plans. Because of that, God anointed him. He filled him with the Holy Spirit, with supernatural ability, with favor, with skills, with all that he needed to accomplish God's plans. David was anointed because he made God number one. Here's an example of how much David loved God. Here's an example of David making God number one. Psalm 27, verse 4. David's words. He's crying out, he's praying, he's singing, and he's saying, one thing I ask from the Lord. Just this one thing. One thing I want from God. The only thing do I seek. I'm just going to stop there. What do we go to God for? This is what David went to God for. We're about to read about it. What are we crying out to God for? What are we desperate for God to do in our lives? We're learning to live like a king. Here's David. The one thing, the only thing that I seek is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. David loved God. God was number one. He was his deep desire, his great expectation. All he wanted was more of God. All he wanted, he didn't want a bigger house. He didn't even want to rule a kingdom. He didn't want all that stuff. He didn't want riches. He didn't want a better job and this, that. The thing that David kept going after was, I want more of you, God. I need more of you. I'm desperate for more of you. And so God said, there's a man that's after my own heart right there. And he'll do everything that I ask him to do. I'm going to send the anointing on that man. He's a guy that I can trust. He's a guy that I can use. I'm going to fill him with everything that I am. God is looking for people like King David right now. He's looking for King David's right now so that he can trust them with his work. Look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. In other words, God is looking all over the place. I mean, he is looking everywhere. He's looking all over the earth to strengthen those. It's a picture of the anointing. To anoint those. To come upon those. To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And when God finds these kinds of people, He pours out His anointing on them. This is God's economy. This is how He works. Let's read about David's anointing. It's in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. This is David's anointing. So Samuel, he took the horn of oil. Here we are back to the oil, representing the anointing. Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him. He anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. This is an anointing. Poured oil over his head. Laid hands on him because God called him to do that. Because God had chosen David. Poured the oil over him, anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David that day. This is the anointing. It's truly the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit Himself coming upon us. When we're anointed. It's not just some special powers. Like a comic book or superhero powers that come on us. No, it is actually the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself, coming upon us in power. It's pretty awesome. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives comes power. In fact, power accompanies anointing. That's what we see right here. In the anointing of King David. Power accompanies anointing. After the anointing, David moved in boldness. He moved in confidence. He moved in strength and he moved in power. It was after the anointing that he slew the lion, that he slew the bear, that he slew the giant. He became a master musician, a worshiper, a leader. He became highly favored in the kingdom. He became a king. After the anointing, because God could trust him with the anointing. So, again, Question number one, what is the anointing? It's the Spirit of the Lord coming powerfully upon us. Why was David anointed? Because he was a man after God's heart. He was number one. And God knew that he could trust him with the anointing. We're learning to live like a king over these next few months. It's important. We don't have to be paupers. We don't have to continue to eat the bread from the crumbs underneath the table. It's a blessing that we have that. But we don't have to remain there. We can sit up at the banqueting table. We can live as kings. We can be anointed. I'm already answering question number three. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Because question number three is, can we live like a king and be anointed? Yes! We can! No matter what you have or haven't thought about the anointing of God, if you are a Christian, then the anointing is available to you. If you're a Christian, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the anointing is available to you. As believers, like King David, we've been chosen for the anointing. David was chosen for the anointing because he knew God. As believers, we've been chosen for the anointing. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, we know God. Because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Because we are the redeemed, and we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why have we been chosen for the anointing? Because it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Why have we been chosen for the anointing? Because like King David, God is now number one in our lives. Why have we been chosen for the anointing? Because we have made Jesus our Lord. And we obey His commands. Like King David now, we will do whatever God asks us to do. Because we are in Christ Jesus. We are surrendered. We've taken up our cross. We don't live for ourselves. We're new creations. We've repented. We don't think the old way. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. We're His disciples. We're His followers. That's what it means to be a Christian. Saying a prayer is not a Christian. Putting a bumper sticker on or a little fish is not a Christian. A Christian is somebody who's surrendered to the Lord. Jesus is their everything. He's my everything. He's my everything. And those of us who say, Jesus is my everything, and I will do what He calls me to do, it might be hard, I might fail sometimes, I might mess up, yeah, but I'm all in for Him. The anointing is available to us. We've been chosen because we're in Christ Jesus, because we're His people in Christ, and He is number one, we've been chosen. So as Christians, because of the work of Christ, and because of our response to Jesus, we can be anointed just like King David, and the Spirit of the Lord can come upon us in power. I mean, really, not just theologically. We got to get out of this whole living this theological kind of Christianity stuff. Thinking it in your head, oh, this is what the Bible says, and so theologically, this is my position in Christ Jesus, and I'm just going to live in that position that's this, you know, thought thing, and it's real, yes, but we don't have to just live theologically. We can live the fullness of the kingdom. We can be like King David. We can be anointed. The power of God can come upon us, and we can walk in that, and we can go from being shepherds, tending the stinky sheep, and we can become kings, bringing the kingdom, changing the world that we live in. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Can you tell I'm a little excited this morning? I usually don't get this crazy when I'm preaching, but I'm just really excited because this is reality, and we got to start living in the reality of who we are. Not just in the theology of who we are. Who we are comes out of our theology. We got to have good theology. We got to have good doctrine. We got to know our standing with Christ Jesus. We got to know who we are and whose we are. This in no way is denigrating theology and doctrine. So important. We got to be in God's Word. We got to know the truth. But then we got to walk in it. I mean, really walk in it. Let's live it out. Let's be the redeemed. Let's be the chosen people. Let's be the more than conquerors. Let's be the royal priesthood. Let's be the anointed and walk in the anointing. Instead of just talking about how we're anointed, let's walk in it. You know what I'm saying, Sean? Hey, I want a little side note here. Did you know that the man Christ Jesus, that it was after he received the anointing that he began his earthly ministry and walked in power? Do you know that it was on the day that he was baptized, Scripture tells us, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him it came on him like a dove and came upon him and rested on Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, who had lived a sinless life up until that point. Wow! It came and rested on the man Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, the man, and out of that, he was launched in power into his earthly ministry. All the miracles, all the teachings, all the healings, the cross, the resurrection, all of that came after the Holy Spirit descended upon him. It's the anointing. That was extra credit. Okay, so then check this out. So Jesus, he's walking in the anointing. He is walking in the power of God as he's ministering on this earth. And then he leaves. And the disciples are all worried about that. Oh no, he's leaving. No more power. No more miracles. What are we going to do? That was a fun ride. Now it's all over. Don't leave. Why are you leaving? Jesus said, hey man, you need to be excited. You need to be like super excited right now that I'm going back to be with my Heavenly Father. Because when I do, what am I going to do? I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. You will receive the anointing and you will walk in the anointing just like I did. You will do the things that I did and even greater things than these you will do. Why? Because you will be walking in the anointing, because the Holy Spirit will be sent to you. You will receive Him and He'll be all over you just like He was all over me, and it's going to be awesome. You can read about that in John 14, 16, and 17. I just paraphrased it. You can look it up. And so, what happened in the early church at that point? Did they just go, well, theologically, that was really cool, Jesus, and we're just going to believe that we have this kind of anointing, and we're just going to get on with our lives and do the best that we can, and, well, okay, here we go. Bummer. The Jesus time is done, and now we're just in the post-Jesus time. No, they didn't do that. Go to the book of Acts with me. Turn to the book of Acts. We see examples of this anointing being received and lived out in reality in the early church. This filling of the Holy Spirit and the people being filled with the Spirit in walking in power, and whoa, things were happening. Check it out. We're going to just start with Acts 2, verse 4. Some quick examples. This is a picture of the anointing. This is a picture of a church understanding the anointing and waiting for the anointing, desiring the anointing, and then walking in the anointing, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 4. All of them, not just the super spiritual ones, not just the people on the prayer team, not just the worship team, not just the pastor and the elders, but all of them, all who were in Christ Jesus, all the believers, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Look, this is the upper room experience. This is on the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit, wait for the anointing, wait for the fullness. They were waiting. They were praying for it. They were looking forward to it. And they were sitting there waiting for the anointing. And the anointing came. The Holy Spirit blew in there and set upon them as tongues of fire. And then they received the anointing. They said yes to the anointing. They walked out of that room with the anointing. They didn't leave it in the room. They didn't leave it in their theology books. They walked out of that room filled with the anointing, and 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Do you want to see evangelism explode? Do you want to see the harvest come into the church? Do you want to see souls saved? Walk in the anointing. Amen. Receive the anointing, walk in the anointing, and you will see people coming to Christ. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, let's go back. What happened when David was anointed? The anointing came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he walked in power. That's the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon us in power. So then Peter, Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Peter, anointed with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. So he began to preach. And he preached in power. This is the same Peter who just a little while earlier was so afraid to even say the name of Jesus and associate himself with Jesus. He gets anointed and he begins to preach boldly the name of Jesus and people are getting saved like that. Bam, 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 bam. Boldness, confidence comes upon him because he receives the anointing and he walks in the anointing. He doesn't walk as the old Peter. He doesn't say, oh yeah, that would be really cool. And theologically, I believe I have the anointing, but I'm going to keep walking the same way I was walking. He received the anointing. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he walked in power. He preached in power. He lived a totally different life. He became one of those Jesus freaks. We need more of them. Those are people walking in the anointing. He also preached with wisdom. He understood things he didn't understand before the anointing. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Do you want to be able to share Christ with your neighbor, with your friend, with your family member, with a coworker? Are you wondering, how am I going to do that? I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I have the boldness. I don't know if I have the understanding to do it. Receive the anointing. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you. He'll give you all you need to accomplish the plans that He has set you in. The people that He's called you to minister to. He'll give you everything you need and you can move forward in confidence because you're not walking in your own ability, in your own understanding, but you're walking in the anointing. You're truly just an instrument in the hand of the Lord. Acts 9:17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul on that day received the anointing and was radically converted and he was launched into ministry. Paul began to actually understand the things of God that he didn't understand before. He actually was blessed by having Jesus come to him in visions and teach him and open up his mind and explain the gospel and the kingdom to him because he received the anointing, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You want to understand the Bible more? You want to have some of that confusion leave? You need to be walking in the anointing. I will tell you this, when I received the anointing, this book came alive to me. And God Himself started revealing things to me that continue to blow my mind. I was just reading a passage of Scripture in Matthew, I believe it was 19 recently, that I always thought it said one thing. I was reading it the other day and I was like, whoa, Velvet, this is incredible. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit opening up our understanding. Acts 13:9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas. Now what he did was this guy was giving him a hard time, and so he rebuked this guy, Elymas, and the guy was blinded. He was mocking the Lord. Paul rebuked him, boom. It's because Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the anointing. And then finally, Acts 13, verse 5, and all the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. My point there is that the anointing brings joy. Walking in the anointing brings joy into your life. Are you lacking joy? Man, start walking in the anointing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll experience joy. Here's some Scriptures highlighting that believers are anointed. 1 John 2, verse 20. John says, but you, he's talking about those who remain in Christ. Those who remain in Christ have an anointing from the Holy One. Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. He says, now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set a seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, again, that you are a chosen people. A chosen people. Just like David was a chosen man because he was after God's heart. You who are in Christ, you who are followers of Jesus Christ, you who love my Son, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a picture of walking in the anointing. You've been chosen, you've been set apart to walk in the anointing, to declare the goodness of God to this world that so badly needs to hear about my Son Jesus. Like David, we are called to walk in this anointing, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by God to accomplish more of his kingdom. So are you walking in the anointing? Many Christians don't understand that they've been chosen, that they've been set apart to walk in the anointing. And so they're missing out on much of what God has for them. The enemy's, you could say, as we're talking about sheep, the enemy has pulled the wool over their eyes. And they're missing out on so much of what God has for them. They're still Christians, but they're missing out on so much of what God has for them. I want to read this story. I believe it'll minister to many of us. While walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle who had fallen out of his nest. He took it home. He put it in a barnyard where it soon learned to eat and behave like his chickens. One day a naturalist passed by the farm and asked why it was that the king of all birds should be confined to live in a barnyard with chickens. The farmer replied, well, since he'd had the eagle, he'd given it chicken feed and he'd trained it to be a chicken. It had never learned to fly. Since it now behaved as a chicken, it was no longer an eagle. Still, it has the heart of the eagle, replied the naturalist. And it can surely be taught to fly. So he lifted the eagle toward the sky and he said, you belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly. The eagle, however, was confused. He did not know who he was, and seeing the chickens eating their food, he jumped down to be with them again. The naturalist took the bird to the roof of the house and urged him again, saying, you are an eagle. Stretch out your wings and fly. But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and the unknown world, and he jumped down again to eat chicken feed. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out of the barnyard, away from his environment, to a high mountain. There he held the king of the birds high above him and encouraged him again, saying, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly. The eagle looked around, back toward the barnyard and up at the sky. Then the naturalist lifted him straight toward the sun, and it happened. I think it's interesting. Straight toward the sun, and it happened that the eagle began to tremble. Slowly he stretched his wings, and with a triumphant cry, he soared away into the heavens. You can miss the anointing, and you can reject the anointing. David could have rejected the anointing. He could have told Samuel that he just wasn't ready for it, or he just wasn't comfortable, or that he was afraid of it. He could have said, you know, I'm pretty satisfied with my gig right now, with the sheep. I'm really comfortable with that. I kind of know how that goes, and everything's good. My life is good. And he could have just said, I'm just not really interested in that anointing, because I know what happens with the anointing, man. People who are anointed, man, God calls them to some pretty big things. He could have rejected the anointing because he could have thought it was foolish. It might make me look foolish if I get anointed and walk in that. Sadly, today there are many who are rejecting the anointing. They're rejecting the fullness of what God has for them. They're rejecting the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're spending their lives on the ground eating chicken feed instead of soaring like eagles. like they were created to, like they were redeemed by Jesus Christ to do. Let me clarify something, that the anointing isn't only reflected in the spiritual gifts talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not just about walking only in the spiritual gifts of prophecy and tongues and miracles and healing, although those are part of the anointing. Those are gifts God's given us. They're called gifts. They're gifts He's given us so that we can walk in the anointing and empower just like He did, just like the disciples, just like the early apostles, just like the early church did. But the anointing is represented in so much more than that. Just as we see that craftsmen were anointed to do their craft for the glory of God, to have unbelievable skill in order to do the glory of God. People are anointed to make money in order to fund the kingdom expansion here on this earth. There's all kinds of things that come out of the anointing. The spiritual gifts are definitely some of those, but it goes beyond that. The anointing to be a godly leader in your home. The anointing to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. The anointing, the fullness of God, so much comes with that. The ability to understand His Word. Again, how to evangelize and teach others about Jesus. The confidence and the strategies to do that come out of the anointing. We need to receive the anointing. And then we need to feed the anointing. And then we need to walk in it. Or maybe we should say, then we need to soar in it. Like the eagle. So I want to conclude by answering those three questions. First of all, how do you receive the anointing? How do you receive the anointing? It's good to talk about it, but we got to receive it. Just like David did. He stood before Samuel and he allowed him to anoint him and he received the anointing. If you're in Christ, again, if you are in Christ, it's all yours for the taking. The anointing is yours for the taking if you're in Christ Jesus. Receive it. Just like salvation is available to everyone who wants to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, the anointing is available to everyone who has received Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be thinking, just feeling like the Lord's wanting me to cover this really quickly. Some of you might be thinking, well, if I'm in Christ Jesus, God's Word says that I have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we all do. We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. He's living in our lives right now. But we're talking about letting the Holy Spirit reign and rule, have His way with us. We're talking about, instead of just having the Holy Spirit sitting on our fancy couch in our living room, and every once in a while, you know how often you go in your living room. Not very often, right? Every once in a while you walk by it, and if the Holy Spirit's sitting on the fancy couch in there, you might wave to Him and say, "Whoo, I'm glad you're still there. It's still good to have you sitting there on my couch." Now, I'm talking about walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the anointing, and saying to the Holy Spirit, "You know what? You just make yourself at home. My house is your house. You come and you just make yourself at home. Every room, the cupboards, the pantry, you can have anything you want out of the refrigerator. This house is your house. Come make yourself at home. Just come on, Holy Spirit. Don't sit on the couch in my living room. I want you everywhere in my house." So yes, when we receive Christ, we get that deposit and He comes and He sits on that couch in our living room. But we're talking about, let's walk in the fullness and let's let Him have full reign and rule over our lives. And let Him move in power and let Him use us the way God wants to use us for His glorious kingdom purposes. So how do you receive it? You ask for it. You ask the Holy Spirit to pour over your life. You give Him full access to your life. God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit does not force Himself on anybody. He doesn't make you walk in the anointing. He doesn't make you speak in tongues. He doesn't make you prophesy. He doesn't make you give for kingdom purposes. He doesn't make you do anything. He's a gentleman. And so He's waiting for us just to say, "Come on. I'm open. Do your thing. Have your way. Obey the Lord." That's another, how do you receive it? Obey the Lord. Like King David, God said that I gave him the anointing because he would do everything I asked him to do. Not just some of the things, not just the things that were comfortable, but he was a yes man to God. And so God gave him the anointing. So if you're in Christ Jesus, technically you should be a yes man or a yes woman. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So we're just going to say, if you're a Christian, then we already assume that that's the case. You've got to become a person after God's own heart, seeking first the Lord and His kingdom. Number two, how do you feed the anointing? You eagerly desire it. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians several times, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Want it. Desire it. Ask for more. How do you feed it? Ask for more. More. I want more, God. I want more. And then how do you walk in it? You practice it. You actually do it. You step out in faith. Just like King David stepped out in faith and he took on Goliath. Filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, he stepped out in faith and he walked out the anointing. Nobody else was anointed to do what he was anointed to do at that time. David understood it, he knew it, and he just walked out in it. He didn't sit down because he was afraid, because he was going to be embarrassed. Just a scrawny little kid doing that. He walked it out. We got to practice it. Has God given you a gifting? Has He given you a calling to bring His kingdom to this world, somebody's life, into your neighborhood, into your community? What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that He's gifted you to do? What is it that He's anointed you to do? Do it. Do it. Step out in it and just do it. We need to maintain a diet of receiving the Holy Spirit and using His gifts and just keep going on and doing it. At this time, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the anointing. Put this whole thing together. I thought, you know, we can't just end this thing with a song and let's eat some food together. I imagine that there are many of you in this room that have been stirred up and said, you know what, I've been pushing the anointing off too long. Maybe I prayed for it at one time, but then I didn't start walking in it. I received it at one point, maybe even, but I didn't move forward in it. I got afraid. I got worried. I didn't feed it. I didn't feed the anointing. So it kind of dried up, and I'm not seeing it in my life right now. I want the anointing. Whether you've received it or not, at any time, you're ready to walk in it now. I just want to invite you to come forward, because we're going to pray for it. Let's live like kings, not like paupers. Let's walk in the fullness of what God has for us. Elders, would you come forward? Amen. The first thing I want us to do as a group, since we have so many people up here, the first thing that I want us to do is I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. I want us to invite the anointing to come into our lives. And we're going to do that corporately, and I'm going to lead you in that. And you can just pray after me quietly, but I recommend praying out loud and eagerly desiring it. And crying out for it. And if you want to add other words as you're crying out for it, please do. But just pray this after me. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I thank you. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you that you have so much for me. I thank you that in Christ Jesus, I am chosen. For the anointing, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, to walk in power, to bring your kingdom, God, into this lost world, to be your hands and feet, and to glorify you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come into my life. Have your way with me. Pour yourself over me. Fill me to the full. To the overflow. I invite you in. Come out of my living room. You can have full reign in my house. In my life. In my family. Anoint me today. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start over on the east side, and we're going to anoint each of you with oil.
Pour out your spirit. Pour out your
thank you, Lord.
Spirit, Lord. Won't
just speak the anointing, the fullness of the Holy Spirit over my brother right now.
Like you
come, Holy Spirit. You've been invited into his
spirit.
Life. You've been invited into his life. Come in your fullness.
Spirit.
Pour out your spirit.